Thank you, Miss Lisa. Thank you. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Jonah. As we continue and finish up the series through the book of Jonah this morning. We love happy endings. We love fairy tales and stories where the good guys end up in the end, in a good way, and the bad guys lose in the end. And so far, in Jonah, the first three chapters, God's plan has come together. And we know God's plan will come together eventually anyway, but so far it has. And so this morning, as we look at the final chapter of Jonah, I want to remind you of a few things before we read. God called Jonah, we know that. Jonah ran the other direction. He ran away. God sent a storm. Jonah went to sleep. The sailors threw Jonah overboard. The storm ended. The sailors began to worship God, the Bible says. God sends a great fish and swallows up Jonah as he is falling to the bottom of the ocean, of the sea. Jonah spends 3 days and three nights in the belly of this great fish. And the fish vomits Jonah out on dry land. Eventually, Jonah goes to Nineveh. After that, he preaches an 8-word sermon. You remember? And the entire city repents. It's the greatest revival ever. And there's never been one like it. Well, you would think Jonah would be happy with all of that happening in his life. But Jonah is like many in our world today. Nothing really makes them happy. All of the blessings, all of the things that God has done for them, but there are one or two things that didn't go their way, and they're frustrated, they're bitter, they're not thankful. Jonah is like that. And so Jonah chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. I'm going to ask if you're able to, let's stand as we read God's word. Jonah chapter 4. Verse 1 says, "But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, 'Oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love. A God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live.'" Father, bless your word. In Christ's holy name, amen. Please be seated. I'm struck by some translations of this text here, and even in a devotional type of translation, such as NLT, here's what it says. It says in verse 1 that this change of plans greatly upset Jonah and he became angry. Change of plans. That's what perhaps is going on here in chapter 4. You know, I want you to know that there's a little bit of Jonah in every single one of us. A little bit of Jonah. Jonah fled. Jonah didn't do what God wanted. Jonah did his own thing. He disobeyed God. There's a little bit of Jonah in every single one of us. All of us. Jonah's attitude has been clear from the beginning. "I'm fine, Lord. As long as you send those Gentiles, the Ninevites, straight to you know where, I wish you would just open up the earth and swallow them all up. That's where I want them to go. I'm tired of hearing about them. I'm tired of you calling me to preach to them. I don't like them. They hate me. I hate them." That's how Jonah felt. Jonah could care less about the salvation of any of these Ninevites. And I'm afraid even in our own life, there are people that have hurt us, or there's people that have wronged us. There are people that, or we felt that they wronged, and so we're bitter. We don't want to be around them. We don't like them. Maybe they are very difficult people, but we have to be careful because God may want to use us in some way to pray for them, at least pray for them, those people that we don't like. to help them. And the fact that God showed mercy to Nineveh was a great evil to Jonah. That's what the Hebrew translation. In Hebrew, that word greatly displeased there in verse 1, those two words, means great evil. So in Jonah's mind, even though it was a great thing, people got saved. God saved this city of Nineveh. To Jonah, it was a great evil. Isn't it strange how people in our own life, we try to help them, or we try to encourage them, or we're in some way, but to them it's bad. We're trying to do good, but they mistake it for bad. That's just the way life is. That's just our fallen humanity. And so don't be discouraged when there's people like Jonah. When God does great things, He blesses us, He saved us, He kept us from that accident, we're still alive. He brought us out of whatever He brought us out of. And there are few that say, thank you, Lord. I am so thankful where I'm at now. I'm not where I ought to be, but Paul said the same thing, the Apostle Paul. But I'm better than I used to be. But there are many in our world that says, God, you hadn't done enough for me. And they're bitter and they're frustrating and they cannot stand people to glorify and praise God. Jonah was this way. God did a wonderful thing. The greatest revival ever. And Jonah said, it's a great evil. It's not a great, great thing. Jonah had it backwards, obviously. The irony of the story is, Jonah was fine when he received the mercy, God's mercy, but yet he didn't want anyone else to receive God's mercy. And there's many like that today as well. They cannot stand other people that have been blessed by God, that have God's favor, and they're frustrated and they're angry and they're mad at God because God hadn't done as much for them or more for them. That's the way Jonah was. One writer brought the truth home this way. You can tell you have made God in your own image, which is a break in the second commandment. You can tell you've made God in your own image when it turns out that God hates the same people you do. We know He don't hate anyone, but He, when you say that, when you live that way, that I know God doesn't like them either. God's mad at them. He's bitter. They did this to me. They did this to my family, whatever. And God, when you feel that way, you've broken the second commandment. You made God into a false image. So Jonah in verse 3 says, I wish I was dead. Jonah's theology is warped. When he called evil good, good evil, and it led him down a dangerous road. It's a very dangerous road for some that calls good bad and bad good. For some that has it twisted or warped, it's a very dangerous road to go down. Because once you go down that road and say, no, that's not good, I don't care what God's Word said, that's bad. Once you go down that road, you become weak, like Jonah, dangerously weak. And so he was weak-minded, he was miserable, he had a rotten, stinking attitude. And guess what? This was God's man. God could have picked anybody else. But God, even with a rotten, stinking attitude, God still wanted to use Jonah. He wanted Jonah to do it. And so let that be encouragement to you and I. When we have a rotten, stinking attitude, God still wants to use you. You can throw in the towel and say, God, look how bad I've been this week. Look how bad I've been this month, this year, whatever, this decade. But God says, I still want to use you. You're still around. You still can benefit. You can benefit yourself. You can benefit your family. You can do a lot for a lot of people. Don't get discouraged. God wanted to use Jonah, even though he was a rotten, stinking, perhaps the worst missionary ever. God wanted to use him. So the real question here is not, God, what are you doing, going to do with Nineveh? We know what he did with Nineveh. But God, what are you going to do with your man, this guy, Jonah. In the belly of the fish, Jonah prayed. That's where he says, I wish I was dead. In the belly of a fish, Jonah prayed, God, please let me live. Can you imagine again? We talked about it before. Sloshing around, shrimp cocktail, everything else following, seaweed, hitting you, things you don't know, unknown objects, hitting you inside the belly. All that acidic stuff. You would pray, God, let me live too, wouldn't you? I know I would. And then the greatest revival, he says, God, let me die. Isn't that backwards? Isn't that warped? Isn't that twisted? It just shows how even godly people can fall into this kind of twisted, warped mentality if we're not careful, if we don't stay on guard, if we don't stay on top of our repentance, if we don't stay on top of our confession, we don't stay in God's Word, we don't stay around God's people, we can get out of kilter. Just like Jonah. Jonah leaves and goes to Nineveh. He leaves Nineveh after the revival. And he goes east of the city, still hoping that God will send down fire and brimstone and destroy the city. But God has other plans. And so God does three things for this man, Jonah. And this is encouragement more to you and I again. Even though we're stinking and rotten, we do things we shouldn't do. We think about people, we think about others, we say things we shouldn't do. Notice what God does to this stinking, rotten missionary. In verse 6, God sends a vine. It's very hot out there. It's real arid. He needs a vine. He needs shade. Something as small as shade, God sends Jonah. God's just saying, I'm sovereign. I can send you shade when I want to. You obey me, I'll bless you. You curse me, I won't. And so God shows him that, and he sends him a vine in verse 6. But then in verse 7, I guess Jonah just doesn't get it. He sends him a worm. And the worm begins to eat the shade, eat the vine. And it begins to diminish the shade. And he also sends in verse 8, a scorching wind. And so Jonah's shade, Jonah's comfort, as he pouts and he is displeased with God and as he still hates the Ninevites who've just been saved, his shade is gone. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, in verse 15 through 18, that some preach Christ out of selfish ambition. And some preach Christ out of false motives. Now, whatever all that means, I don't know. The Holy Spirit, only knows and God knows. But it doesn't seem to bother Paul too much. Paul is just glad that people are preaching. Because we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so before we come to a conclusion, look at verse 11 with me. Jonah chapter 4, verse 11. Look at what it says. But Nineveh, I think I even have it on your screen. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot, this is God talking, who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. God says, should I not be concerned about that great city? As we talked about before, God is concerned about the great city. He's concerned about Montgomery. He's concerned about New York. He's concerned about Tokyo. He's concerned about people because they make up the cities. And so God says, shouldn't I be concerned? And he's saying, you and I should be concerned too. That's why we're here. And so, let me encourage you, have God's heart for the Ninevites of this world, these rotten, stinking people that hate us, maybe, in some way, at least pray for them that God would work in their life and choose not to hate the Ninevites like Jonah did. this story really is about, and this book of Jonah is about, it speaks to all of us who would rather not get involved. Some would rather, like Jonah, remain in their comfy, cozy environment inside the four walls of a church. But God has other plans for us. Until we breathe our last breath, He has other plans. God's greatest problem is not with Nineveh. His greatest problem was with his man Jonah. Ninevites believed when they heard the message. The eight-word sermon. We know the world's going to hell because they don't, the world that doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus. The problem is that many Christians are running the other way so they don't have to love those who God loves. You know, we're more like Jonah than we realize. If you and I would be honest, we are Jonah, aren't we? We're Jonah. Every day in some way, we don't pray for who we should pray for. We don't read God's word as we should. I'm guilty of it too. I'm preaching to myself. We're all Jonah. We run in some way. That's just our fallen humanity. That's why we need the Lord Jesus. We don't just need Him to get out of hell. We need Him every day. And so I take encouragement. Even though I'm like Jonah, God still wants to use me, and He still wants to use you. We're more like Jonah than we would like to admit, because there's a lot of Jonah inside all of us. Let's pray. Father, we love You today. And Lord, I just pray that under the sound of my voice, Father, if there's one that just is being convicted by You, Lord, to come to Jesus today, they've never trusted You, they've never really followed You, they've just maybe went through the motions, they've done the little church thing, went through a prayer, baptism, whatever, but it wasn't real. It wasn't genuine. It wasn't repentance. Father, I pray that today, under the sound of my voice, they'll just cry out to You to save them. Father, it's that simple, and You know that, Father. But many don't want to believe that. They want to make it much more than it is. Lord, if there are some here that's gotten off track, they've let politics and let this world and society and our culture drive their happiness, their influence, their personality, and all of those things. Lord, may we repent of that. May we keep our eyes focused on You. May we rejoice because of You and not rejoice because of our surroundings. Father, thank You, Lord, for our freedoms that comes from all of those that died for us and those that are still fighting. And Lord, our ultimate freedom that comes from Your precious Son, the Lord Jesus. Lord, we love You and we thank You for another day that You've made. May we be glad and rejoice in it. In Christ's holy name, amen.